I want to do something this morning that I don't know if I've ever done or not. But a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, I preached a message concerning stress. How many remember that? All right. Ever since that message, there just seems to be more and more things come up. And the part that really bothered me was I felt like I left you all hanging about what to do about the stress. And that's what I want to get to today. How many of you would just say, I understand what stress is, I got a little? Four people. I'm looking at y'all's faces and y'all look like pit bulldogs. That lets me know that stress is very prevalent in this building today. Matthew chapter 11 is what Jesus tells us how to handle stress. And we read a little bit of this that night, but then we kind of left it. And I want to go back there and actually look exactly what Jesus says we need to do for our stress. He says in verse 28, Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is" what? Alright, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today again we thank you for all you do. We thank you for the privilege we have to be here. And Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you might open our hearts, our minds to the Word. Help us be submissive to your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here today, that we've done everything you've asked us to do. Lord, I pray most importantly for those of this congregation today that maybe through what we read and say today and through your Spirit that they might find some strength in a stressful time in their life. Lord, I just pray now that you'll guide us through this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. One thing I mentioned that stress was a few weeks ago was not being able to do what you're supposed to do. And I think that's the best definition I can give for stress. Our mind says you can't do this, but you know you're supposed to do it. And whether it's paying the bill, whether it's passing a test, whatever it is in your life, it's when you have that part of your life that says, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Now, how many of you have had that happen? Alright, so we know what we're talking about. So Jesus is going to help us, and the reason I want you to really look at this, because verse 30 says, my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. Now I'm telling you all that all the things I feel in my life are not easy or light. I'm just being honest. The stress that I feel, I would not say it's easy, and I definitely wouldn't say it's light. But this, I don't believe the Bible can lie, so we've got to understand really what God is trying to get us to see through this passage of Scripture. So let's back up a little bit to verse 28. I believe that there's three things we've got to get today, I think it will help us with our stress in our life. The first thing is this. We have an invitation from God to come. Right? Look what He said. Who's this invitation from? It is. It's the Lord saying, come unto me. Now, I want you to think about something. I mean, I can tell everybody's lost an hour's sleep. Sunday school is even worse than this is. I mean, y'all got that deer. Some of you think you're at Sunday school right now. Time changed last night. Y'all lost an hour. Here, let me wake you up a minute. How many of you got dogs? All right, here we go. What two commands do you think are most important for you and that dog to know? You to give to that dog. What two commands? I'm here to sit and stay. I'm here to sit and stay. I tell you what mine are. Mine are come and stay. When I want my dog to come, especially if he's chasing the neighbor's cows. You alright? Come. Now, I want him to come. But there's times like when I'm leaving home, and the dogs start chasing the car. Anybody got chasers? All right. And I stop the car and I holler, stay.
hey, go back home. And sometimes, if there's anybody from PETA here, I apologize, but I pick up rocks and throw at them and chase them back to the house. To me, it's important that my dog stays when I want him to stay, and it's important that he comes when I want him to come. Now, does that make sense? Now, think about this. Realistically, when the Bible's talking to you and I, and God's talking to you and I, there's two things that He wants you and I to be able to do. Come and stay. Think about it. If you are out of God's will, He wants you to come where? Back to God's will. The prodigal son was out of his father's will, and the father wanted him to do what? Come back. And finally he got in the hog lot and he came to himself, and what did he do? He came back. So God's always given that invitation to come, right? The Bible says no man can come to the Father except he be drawn. God's a God that says come. When the ark was finished, and before the first drop of rain dropped from the sky, the Bible said God from the inside of the ark said, come. What it says in the book of Genesis. I know that God's a God that calls. And He says, come. But sometimes God says, stay. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes God wants us just to wait. Now, you all are patient people, right? Y'all do good waiting. Who does good in here waiting? I'm just curious. Anybody here do good waiting? Trooper Blanton. Would have to be the trooper, wouldn't it? I mean, our drive-thrus have put in two lanes now. Have y'all noticed that? We're not fast enough now to get our food. We got two lanes to get food through our drive-thrus now. We are not patient people, but God says sometimes you've got to wait. The Bible says, be still and know I'm God. God's a God that says sometimes come, and then sometimes He says stay. Now, your deal is, in your life, you've got to decide what is it God's asking you to do. Some of you, God may be asking to come. God may be calling you to service. God may be leading you to church membership. God may be calling you to salvation. But here's the deal. You're going to be stressed in this service today if you don't react to what God's call is. Amen. When you don't do what you know you're supposed to do, then you're going to be stressed. Now, you wouldn't think you could come to church and be stressed, but you can. I can remember being in church and being stressed. I can remember sitting in a congregation like you and the Lord working on me and He's saying, come, and I didn't come because I didn't think I could come. I didn't think I could do what He wanted me to do, and because of that, I had stress from being in a church service. That can happen to you as well. So I want you to see today, the first thing that God does is He gives an invitation. But then He says this. See, not only does He invite, but He also encourages participation. I think that something's happened to church. To me, something's happened to church. When I went to Bible school 30 years ago, they taught us preachers that when you're preaching, people communicate. Now, 30 years ago, people used to say something like, amen. I know, that's like, whoa. Is this a Baptist church? We got visitors are thinking, this is a Baptist church, isn't it? Baptists used to say amen. They really did. And all amen meant Joseph was true. So if the preacher said something was true, the people said amen, which meant that's true. So apparently preachers don't say anything true anymore. And then the other way people participate is they nod. And if you say something you don't agree with, y'all believe it or not, y'all shake your hands at me. And some of you get done before I'm done. And how I know, you close your Bibles. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you participate. Some of you are bored out of your brains and you sleep. So there's still participation. But here, in God's service, God not only called us to come or stay, but He's also called us to participate. And I think this is really important because I want you to see how He says to do it. And this is the part I really want you to focus on for a minute. He says in verse 29, He says, take My yoke upon you. Look out, girls. I need my paraphernalia. yoke. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Now you do. This is a yoke. Now, this yoke is used for two animals. There's single ox yokes and there's double ox yokes. The Bible 99.9% of the time talks about a double ox yoke. And I tell you how I know that. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So we're talking about two people. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Again, two. God's talking about being yoked together. Now, I want you to get this because this is the most important thing I can probably get you to get today. You ready? If your yoke is not easy, you got the wrong yoke. Because the Bible said, my yoke is what? And my burden is? So, most of us who are stressed and struggling have got the wrong yoke. Now let's have an invitation. I'm serious. He said, preacher, you just can't make a statement like that. It's absolutely true because you and I have just read this. He said, take my yoke upon you. See, what happens in our lives is we get going our way. I shared with the gentleman in the back a while ago. When I was a senior in high school, in my mind, I wanted to be a civil engineer. Those are guys that build bridges. I took the math classes in school, and that's really what I'd considered eventually in my education is to go into building roads and bridges. I just thought that was the coolest thing. But you know what? God had another plan. Now, I could have done what I thought I wanted to do. I could have went to school, did the education, and went through all that process. Probably got a job, and probably made lots of money. But, I'm telling you, it's probably been a stressed life. Because it wouldn't have been an easy yoke. And you say, why wouldn't it have been easy, preacher? Because it wasn't the Lord's. See, the Lord says, my yoke is easy. What you and I have got to do today, we've got to figure out whose yoke are we packing. And the best way you can test that is this. If you are in a low today and you don't feel like you can go on any farther and you just don't think you can make it any more, then I want you to realize today you probably got the wrong yoke on. Amen. And the greatest thing you can do is dump that yoke and get another one. Now, I don't know about you all, but how many of you have ever had buyer's remorse? I usually get it the day before I sign. I mean, borrowing money for a home or something. When Rochelle and I first got married, I would get like sick, like take Fenugreek kind of sick, you know. And then when I went and signed the papers, it even got worse. And I'm like, why in the world would I do that? You know, I bought cars and be sick the next day that I bought a car. Anybody? And realize that I acted on the wrong intuition. I went on the wrong desires. And here's what we've got to get today. I mentioned something a couple Wednesday nights ago, and then I mentioned again last Sunday night about the soul. Anybody remember last Sunday night we said the soul was a place of desire? See, the Bible said you can find rest. In this scripture, you can find rest for your want. So. You can find rest for your souls. See, the reason you and I are stressed today, because we've got desires that we want to do things that we can't get done. And what the problem is, we've got the wrong desires. And what God wants us to do is to put His yoke upon us. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. A few years ago, I was having a horse broke. And I told some of you this story, but I think this is the best way I can illustrate this. I went over to the Mennonites where they were breaking my horse. And I talked to the man's wife, and she says, your horse is out there with my husband in the field. And all I could see was four big Belgium horses. Four of them. And I said, ma'am, my horse, he's out there. You just need to go out there and find him. So I went out there, and crammed between two of these big Belgians was my little horse. Right in the middle of them. And you know something, Scott? He didn't even know there was a plow back there. Them other four horses were just dragging and pulling, and he's just on for the ride. And ever since that day, I thought about what the Lord said. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden's light. You say, well, preacher, you're saying that life should be easy? I'm telling you, if you're where God wants you to be, you may have difficulty. This yoke, I'm sure it's not comfortable, but He said it would be easy. Didn't say comfortable. He said easy. And I can tell you this, every time in my life that I've been where God wants me to be, it's been the easiest thing I've ever done. When I packed up and moved out of this country to Central America, easiest thing I ever done. He said, you're great. I'm telling you, easiest thing I ever done. Anytime you're in God's will, it's the easiest thing you ever done. And people say, well, I don't see how you can do that. And you know what? You think it's the greatest thing in the world. You know why? Because you got the Lord's yoke on. Now, to wake you back up, keep your Bible marked and go to Isaiah 43. Just a second. Isaiah 43. I want you to see this. Isaiah 43. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, what does it say? Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Let me explain that to you. You say, preacher, I think that's an analogy. I don't think it's an analogy. I think it's a true statement. And I tell you how I know that. There's these three guys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all have heard of them? Now, these guys were told to bow down before a golden image when the music was played. Now, they refused to bow down to that golden image. And you know what they said? We're not careful to answer you. We don't even have to think about this. They said, this is easy. This is an easy one. We're not going to bow. Well, if you don't bow the next time, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Well, that's easy. And so they played the music, and they didn't bow. And you know what, John? Threw them in the furnace. Burned them up, and the people ate them. It'd make a cool movie. But you know what? The Bible said that they didn't even smell like smoke, and the hair of their head was not even singed. You know why? Because they had the right yoke on. Now, sometimes when you got the right yoke on, you'll die. There's a guy by the name of Stephen. He was preaching, and they got mad at him. And the Bible said they gnashed on him with teeth, and he started throwing rocks at him. And he looked up in heaven, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father, and he looked at those people throwing rocks, and he said, they got this sin to their charge. You know why that was easy? Let me tell you, that was easy for him. That was easy for him. Why? He had the right yoke on. See, when you've got the right yoke on, it's always easy to do the right thing. You're not stressed about it. It just comes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not stressed about it. Said, we're not going to, oh, now you and I'd be stressed, wouldn't we? Oh, preacher, I'd be stressed. You know what? If you had the right yoke on, you wouldn't have been stressed. If that's what God has for your life, you would not be stressed. But I'm going to tell you where this preacher's stress comes from when he gets the wrong yoke on. He said, preacher, you get the wrong yoke on a lot. A lot. Sometimes I preach what I want to preach. And that stresses me out. But you know what? That's because I got the wrong yoke on. Come on. And sometimes I do things and I don't feel like, Bobby, I can get them done. And you know why? Because I'm not supposed to be doing them. See, when you're in a church and you're a pastor, you're supposed to perform and have all these things going. But let me give you a secret. If God doesn't want them going on, then we don't need them going on. Right? And guess what? Well, but so-and-so's doing them. Brother Reggie down Whitehall's doing it. I want to do it. And I can't get it done. I start stretching out. You know what? Because I got the wrong yoke on. And what God says is, take my yoke upon you. See, he's talking to a group of people that's stressed out. He said, listen, I can help y'all quit getting stressed. He said, first of all, come to me. When you get here, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to dump that yoke and take my yoke upon you. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, everything God has ever asked me to do has not been that big of a deal, I don't think. Really, I don't. When I look at the scheme of things, and I talk about moving, when we moved from here to Central America, I went out in Colorado bird hunting for a week. When I came back, Rochelle had ever heard of a house sale instead of a yard sale? She went through the house and tagged our furniture with prices. When I came back from Colorado bird hunting, I didn't even have a bed to sleep in. The Lord blessed her and she sold everything we had. But I thought it was the greatest thing. And we slept in the floor sleeping bag. I thought, man, this is going to be great. We got to Belize, and the first time we moved to a village, we lived in a house that had a grass roof on it. And we'd been there about a month, and a hurricane came through. And everybody said, you need to leave, and you need to go. And I thought, man, I want to see a hurricane. I've seen so I want to see a hurricane. So we stayed there in that little house with the grass roof on it, and we had cots. We lived in a 20 by 20, and we had our three kids, and me and Rochelle, and we had this grass roof. So the hurricane comes over, and the hurricanes would suck like this. They just pull up, and the grass roof would stand straight up, and I said, wow. Look at that. That was the coolest thing, Clint. And the grass started falling on the kid, and they were asleep, and so Shell covered them up with sheets, and we just sat there and thought, man, this is cool. And I'll tell you something, it's easy. We had electricity half a day. Every day we got it. They give us electricity from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. And then they cut the electricity off. And so we had electricity half a day, but it's great. It was easy. You say, oh, preacher, you're crazy. I'm telling you, I can look back at that place in my life and I can tell you there was no stress. I can look at places in my life and I can tell you there were no stress. Let me ask you all, have you had places where there's no stress? How many of you understand what I'm saying about having the wrong yoke on? That's exactly where our problem happens. We get ourselves involved in things we shouldn't be involved in. We get ourselves linked to things that we shouldn't be yoked with. And we get ourselves yoked up with people we shouldn't be yoked with. And you know what? We're fighting. So let me explain this yoke one more time before I give you the end of this thing. If this is the Lord's yoke, He said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy and it's light. So Joseph's in here with God. And Joseph decides he's ready to do this over here now. Reckon God's just going to let him go? Reckon God's just going to let Joseph drag him wherever God wants to be dragged? Or you think God's going to say, we're not going to go like that easy, Joseph. I'm going to tell you, God's not going to just let you go. He's going to stick His heels in the ground and He's going to fight you from going against Him. God's going to fight you going against Him, and now you get to the definition of stress. I can't do what I know I need to do. Right? And so the best thing you can do is let Him take you the direction you just let Him take you. You're going to find the easy and the light way. Now, here's the end. I keep skipping one verse on purpose. Now let's get it. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Now, if you've got one of them other versions of the Bible that's not inspired, I'm just kidding. You just do what you need to do. Let me tell you what the other versions will say. Follow me. But this says what? Can I tell y'all to wake up just for the end of this? There's a difference in following and learning.
When Jesus first called His disciples, He said, "Come follow Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And now He's telling these same men, "Learn of Me." Let me explain that to you in a crazy way, but that's how I am. I never, ever, ever, never, ever wanted to disappoint my parents. I'm serious. When I played ball, whatever I did, I wanted them to be proud. And I could find them in the crowd, I could find them in the stands, I could hear Mom's voice over the rest of the voices. But I'm going to tell you things. I did things that did make them proud. And one time my father told me, and I'd rather have been beaten, but he said, "I'm ashamed of you." That's the worst thing he could have said to me. But let me tell you through the process of time what I learned. I learned them. But what I mean is, I understand them. See, Jesus said, "Learn of Me." In other words, He said, "Understand Me." Before you can ever follow the Lord, you've got to understand the Lord. Before you can ever be the right kind of child to your parents, you've got to understand your parents. What do they want? What do they expect? And realistically, what they expected was not a perfect kid, because they knew that wasn't possible. What they expected was a child that would love them and would obey them and would do good in life. Not to build bridges, not to have millions of dollars, but to serve God. And see, once you understand, it makes it easy to follow, Steve. The problem with most of us is we don't understand the Lord. We don't understand Him. God's not a God that sets a bunch of rules, Greg, that you can't keep. He's a God that loves you. And He wants you to understand He loves you, and He knows you're going to mess up, and He's going to forgive you, and He wants you just to come on and follow Me because I love you. See, that's the God. But we put all these restrictions on ourselves. We've got to be this, we've got to be that. And most Christians never relax. Most Christians are so intense and so tied and so caught up, they can't even enjoy God. You know why? Because they don't understand Him. And what the Lord said to these people, He said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." I'm telling you, there's 100 people here. 99.9 of you are heavy laden this morning. I'm looking at you. And He says, "I will give you rest." He said, "Take My yoke upon you and understand Me. Learn of Me. Understand Me. I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls." Shell's all the time doing this to me. I reckon when you're stressed, you get like wrinkles right here. And she'll come up and she'll just rub me like a puppy. That feels good. She said, "Relax." But you know what? Most of the time in my life, Beth, I go through just all wrinkled because it's stress. But God says, "I want to give you some rest, Steve. But you got to come. You got to get rid of that yoke that you think you got to be doing and take Mine. Mine's easy. Mine's light. You'll find rest for yourselves." I don't know about anybody in this congregation today, but I'm telling you what, this preacher wants some rest. I want to just make sure I'm in the right yoke. And I just want it to be easy. I didn't say it's going to be comfortable. I want it to be easy. And I want it to be light. You know, I thought about the sicknesses and things that's happened to me in the last little while. Realistically, I told Rochelle this morning, I said, "You know, honestly, it's been pretty easy. I don't see good out of this eye, but it's easy. I mean, really, I got another eye. You know? I mean, really, it's easy. This thing hasn't been as stressful. The doctors say, you know, probably take some time off and be some good. But you know what? It's like the worst thing I could do. Because this is the yoke God's got me in. He's preached with one eye. What's the big deal with that? I mean, they poked Samson both his eyes out, Beth, and he still shut the building down.
You know why? Because he's in the right yoke. Listen, we're serving a God who wants to make this easy for you. But maybe he's saying, come today. Maybe he's saying, stay. I don't know what God is saying. He's saying something today to somebody. And the thing is, you've got to respond to that. Do you understand him? Maybe you need understanding better today. Whatever it is today, seek God's will right now. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning.